Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. A couple of weeks ago, the National Academies hosted a national convocation to take stock of what's happened since the fall of 2005, when the Academies released its report on the future of American economic competitiveness. Echoing the title of that landmark report, this convocation was called Rising Above the Gathering Storm 2 years later, accelerating progress toward a brighter economic future.
In the spring of 2005, Senators Lamar Alexander and Jeff Bingaman, with endorsement from Representative Sherwood Bollert and Bart Gordon of the House Science Committee, asked the National Academies to identify the top 10 actions that federal policymakers could take to enhance America's science and technology enterprise so that our nation could effectively compete, prosper, and be secure in the 21st century.
That was Chuck Vest, president of the National Academy of Engineering. Given the compelling nature of the topic, will America retain its position of supremacy in a quickly changing global landscape? And the growing sense of urgency that's associated with that question, you'll no doubt believe me when I tell you that the convocation attracted a standing room only crowd. And of course, the lineup of speakers certainly had something to do with the interest level. Norm Augustine, CEO Emeritus of Lockheed Martin, Craig Barrett, Chairman of the Board of Intel, Sally Ride, former astronaut and CEO of Sally Ride Science, Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson from Texas, Congressman Rush Holt from New Jersey, Bart Gordon, Congressman from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, Senator from Tennessee, Secretary of Education Margaret Spellings, Secretary of Energy Samuel Bodman, Secretary of Commerce Carlos Gutierrez, Arden Brement, Director of the National Science Foundation, and, well, I think you get the picture. The energy, the intensity, the commitment, the determination, and yes, the frustration and the concern emanated from both the dais at the front of the room as well as from the hundreds of engaged audience members populating the packed house. So what has happened in the 2 years since the Academy's delivered its report? There is clearly cause for hope. Passing the Bipartisan America Competes Act, which was signed by the President last August, was a major accomplishment, though as many of the convocation participants pointed out, while the act has been authorized, it has yet to be funded. Additionally, several state and private sector initiatives are in the works. And at least one newspaper in every state of the Union has had an editorial page item indicating the need for action on this issue. But the fact of the matter is that we still have a long way to go for our nation to be competitive in future decades, when our children and grandchildren will need jobs and desire a standard of living at least as good as today's. Again, Chuck Vest, with some very sobering words.
My own view is that the time for action is now. America faces many challenges and indeed has many enemies. But the enemy I fear most is complacency. We are about to be hit by the full force of global competition. We must now establish a sense of urgency. Urgency because time has run out.
Again and again, this same note was sounded by one speaker after another. It is clear that people are worried about the future prosperity of the United States. And while many assume that the U.S. will always be a world leader in science and technology, this may not continue to be the case. Great minds and great ideas exist throughout the world, and our lead in science and technology can be lost in the blink of an eye. And the difficulty of recovering a lead once it's lost, if indeed it can be regained at all, cannot be overstated. As Craig Barrett, chairman of the board of Intel, made clear, action is needed so that the United States can remain competitive in the 21st century.
There are going to be winners and losers. The winners will be people who take advantage of the change. The losers are the people who look backwards rather than looking forward. And if the U.S. is doing anything, we're looking in the rearview mirror. We're not looking to the next generation. We're looking, the 80s and 90s were great. We're on top. That's the way it's always going to be. And folks, that ain't the case.
Certainly, the United States takes well-deserved pride in the strong track record of our economy, which forms the foundation of our high quality of life, our national security, and our hope, our belief, in the future. That track record is derived in large part from the productivity of well-educated and well-trained people and the steady stream of scientific and technical innovations they produce. Without high-quality, knowledge-intensive jobs and the innovative enterprises that lead to discovery and new technology, our economy will suffer and our people will face a lower standard of living. Today, Americans are feeling the gradual and subtle effects of globalization that challenge the economic and strategic leadership that the United States has enjoyed since World War II. Thanks to globalization, driven by modern communications and other advances, workers in virtually every sector must now face competitors who live just a mouse click away in Ireland, Finland, China, India, or a dozen other nations whose economies are growing. There are some troubling indicators fueling our collective concern. The World Economic Forum dropped America from 1st to 7th place in its ranking of nations' preparedness to benefit from advances in information technology. The number of U.S. citizens entering engineering school declined still further. The remnants of the legendary Bell Labs, the birthplace of the laser and the transistor, and the home of many Nobel laureates, was sold to a French firm. The largest initial public offering in history was conducted by a Chinese bank. Another $650 billion has been spent on U.S. public schools, while the performance of its students on standardized science tests of those about to graduate declined further. American companies once again spent 3 times more on litigation than on research. And last July, for the first time in history, foreign automakers sold more cars in the United States than American manufacturers. Meanwhile, our competitors have not been standing still.
The U.S. has to recognize that other societies are improving their educational infrastructure and capability, and they're not only customers for our products, they're competitors for our jobs.
Norm Augustine, chair of the Gathering Storm Committee, pointed to some significant events that have taken place as a result of the Academy's report recommendations.
A new research university is scheduled to launch very soon with a day one endowment of $10 billion, equal to what it took MIT 142 years to accumulate. Next year, well over 200,000 students will study abroad, mostly in engineering, mostly on scholarships paid for by the government. Investment in non-defense R&D is scheduled to increase by 25%. A multi-year initiative is underway to make the country a global nanotechnology hub. The world's most powerful particle accelerator should begin operating this summer. And a high-level commission within the government has been appointed to conduct a follow-up to the Gathering Storm report. The only problem with those actions is that they were accomplished by Saudi Arabia, China, the UK, India, Switzerland, and Australia, respectively.
This cruel irony is especially evident in the number of foreign nationals who are enrolled in U.S. universities. Students who value and appreciate the connection between education in science and technology fields to their own personal growth, and who return to countries that have certainly made that connection to their national growth. But the word is spreading, and if the Gathering Storm convocation is any indication, America's leaders seem genuinely convinced that action needs to be taken. The devil is always, as they say, in the details. Concentrating on converting interest and concern into action and results is now key to what comes next. We may take comfort in the fact that the U.S. lead in science and technology is so large that it's unlikely that any other nation would broadly overtake us in the next decade or so. The National Intelligence Council believes that the United States will remain the world's most powerful actor, economically, technologically, and militarily, at least through 2020. But that's not far away, and that doesn't mean that we will not be tested and challenged. And that certainly doesn't mean that the time for action can be postponed. We owe our current prosperity, security, and good health to the investments of past generations. We are now obliged to renew those commitments in education, research, and innovation policies to ensure that the American people continue to benefit from the remarkable opportunities provided by the rapid development of the global economy and its not inconsiderable underpinning in science and technology. As Congressman Bart Gordon, chairman of the House Committee on Science, exhorted the audience members at the convocation,
"We can't just sit in this room and talk with each other and say we need to get this done. We have to spread out. You've got to go home. You've got to talk to the other folks at your universities, in your businesses, in your organizations. Tell them to start writing and calling their individual member of Congress and get them activated, get them moving forward to pass the supplemental, to pass the next appropriation. If we'll do that, we can have a great victory. It won't be a Democratic victory or a Republican victory. It'll be a victory for this country. So let me just finally say to all of you, early to bed, early to rise, work like hell, and organize.
The Gathering Storm Convocation, the second in a series of convening events held by the National Academies, took place on April 29th and was sponsored by the National Academy of Engineering and the National Academy of Sciences, with support from the National Math and Science Initiative. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.